You said YES to buying an HDB flat together. Now, there's another three letters to take note of.
ILY?
I know, BTO.
No, HFE. You need a valid HDB flat eligibility letter. If you're applying for your BTO flat, it takes about a month to process your HFE application. So, if you haven't gotten an HFE letter, apply at homes.hdb.gov.sg. That's homes.hdb.gov.sg.
Mutton Sandwich Podcast.
All right, welcome to the Mutton Sandwich Podcast. Now, this is a show that we put together that we get give ourselves an excuse to hang out with our famous friends, Mutton. And this guy, good friend, but we haven't actually seen him for more than a year now.
That's right. Even though he's our colleague here on Class 95 FM, he does the nights and we do the mornings, so never the twain shall meet. But he's also a singer-songwriter, and it's very important to have a singer-songwriter as a good friend because it's important for street cred. like you can go out and boast like, hey, that singer, I know him, man. He's my friend. He's my buddy.
And anything you do, I could possibly write a song for you as well.
Yes. Exactly, right? Yeah.
There you go. John Klass, welcome to the Mutton Sandwich Podcast, man.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Yeah, man. I mean,
a pleasure, indeed.
We see you every week on Zoom where we have our weekly Class 95 meetings.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
But
that's
we haven't met since the pandemic started. How you been doing? How you been coping with the whole...
Good. I mean, I think for us, just nothing really much has changed because we're still, you know, doing the shows every night. We're still coming to the studios. Mm. So in that respect, nothing really much has changed except aside from us not actually meeting physically for a year plus now, right? So yeah, aside from that, I think life still is about the same for me.
And you actually took some of the free time to work on some music. We'll talk about that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But we love talking to our guests on the podcast to talk about our relationships with them. So, Mutton, let's go back to the point where you actually have known John much longer than I have, of course.
Right.
Talk about when you first met John, and let's see if John's memories sync with yours.
It was a very long time ago. I think the first time I met John was because I was helping a friend out with some production stuff, and they were trying to do a show, I believe, and John was one of the performers back then.
Really? Okay. Wow.
Kick.
Okay.
So this has nothing to do with radio?
No, nothing to do with radio. Wow. It was even before radio.
Wow.
Yeah, and John, together with his buddies Jai and Dinesh, had a band called Kick, and they were the headline performers at this big show that my friend was trying to organize, and I was just helping out and all stuff like that. And that's when I first met John. Wow. All those years ago.
Really? Which year was it? Because I remember differently, the first time I met you, at least.
Okay.
Yeah. So do you remember which year it was?
Kick years. It has to be in the 90s, when Kick was around, right?
Right. Okay. My memory, first memory of you, right? It was when you were in the other radio station and that was setting up, and I came in to help out for 40 days. I was in NS and I was, asked to do this, as a side thing for NS. Remember that one?
Yeah, of course.
Can I even mention this, the station? Yeah.
Yeah, why not? It was Power 98 when it first...
Power 98, that's right. Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
First set up. Yeah,
that's when Vernon... That was your first radio gig, wasn't it?
My first radio gig. Yeah, absolutely.
And
I still remember at that time, the gang of us who were at Power 98 were like, wow, it's John Klass, man. He's coming over to help us out and all that. And we were like, so cool. We can learn a lot from this guy. And then obviously a lot of us did.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was my NS, by the way, so.
Yeah, exactly, right, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that was great.
We're talking a long time back here, guys.
Eons ago.
The station that you guys are talking about, I mean, I've been there before, so I know.
Yeah,
that started in 1994.
Right.
That's when that station started.
Yeah,
so we're talking all those years back. Now, John, since we're talking about this, when did you start doing radio? Do you remember the year?
Yeah, I absolutely remember the year. Yeah. It was the year after I left the army, right? So I left army and then I always wanted to do music, right? So that's why I went army. I left school, I think pre-U. I did pre-U 1 and I said, no, I really want to do music and, this is not working out for me. So I just quit school. I went to the army. I thought I'd get that over and done with. When it came out... I said, okay, now what, right? I want to do music. That's exactly what I knew I wanted to do. But of course, at that time, especially, poly and all that stuff was just about starting out. And I was doing odd jobs here and there in those costume characters. You wear those Mickey Mouse and all those stuff.
You're kidding. Wow.
You were a mascot.
Mascot. Wow. That's the word. Yeah, mascot.
Wow, okay.
And all over Singapore, I was in Orchard Road, kind of doing children's parties and all that stuff. $10 an hour. I remember that.
Wow. So cool.
And try to figure out how do I do this, right, for 1 year. And then came the opportunity at Rediffusion. I never even had a set, but my girlfriend had a Rediffusion set, and they were looking for this one show where the listeners take over. It's called Listeners Take Over.
Mm.
Right, so 1 hour where the listeners come in and host the show. All right, so she put my name in and said, yeah, because she, I was a boyfriend, I was not doing anything, and I guess she said, you need to do something. So
you need to get out of the house.
Yeah, you need to do something in your life. And I never ever thought I'd ever want to get into radio at all. Right, it's not the thing for me. I used to mumble a lot. Well, I still do, I guess. I speak really quick, but that was even worse. No one could understand me at that point. And anyway, so I had a call from the station and says, oh, okay, we got your letter, you know, because we could only write letters at that point.
No, emails, right? Yeah.
Like, we got your letter. And can you come at this date? And I was like, what? You know, so I was like, okay, sure. But I had no idea about, you know, the latest music and all that stuff, right? So I called this friend of mine from school, and he was always into the chart music. I said, hey, I need 10 songs. Can you give me 10 songs and give me some information on it as well, right? So he did that. I wrote everything down. And when I submitted the 10 songs and did the show. Well, what do you know, right? The programs director, Juanita Melson, at that point, heard my show and said, well, can you call John up? I want to speak to him. And then I came up and said, would you be interested in a job? And I said, wow. Yeah, why not, right? And he says, because someone's leaving, you know, next week, and we need to replace this person. I think you could do it. And I was like, wow. And that's how I got into radio.
Beautiful. That's amazing, so, right? Beautiful. Yeah.
And just to bring the circle of life back, one of our previous guests, of course, we all know her very well, Jean Danker. Mm. She told us that when she first started, you trained Jean Danker. You were one of the people who started her training in radio. In Rediffusion.
In Rediffusion.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she came for the Rediffusion DJ workshop before there were any other workshops. We started that with Chris Ho and a few others. We were the trainers and a lot of DJs. In fact, you know, other DJs have also come through that Rediffusion DJ workshop as well. So wonderful, I think. Wonderful, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. Really the circle of life. And now we're all colleagues, Gene, yourself and us, in the same station.
Exactly.
Wow.
Absolutely. It's just perfect, right? Isn't
fantastic.
It?
Fantastic. Yeah. Now let's go back to your music career. Like I said, I mentioned your band that you know got it all started and you know made you famous, Kick, with Giant Dinesh. Tell us about that band. You know, which year was that when you guys started and got famous and everything?
Okay, so basically it all stemmed from me joining Rediffusion, right? Mm-hmm. So music's always been something I wanted to do. And so when I got into radio, I was talking to my programs director, Juanita, like he said, and telling her about my music and all and that stuff. She says, well, okay, you know, I know Jimmy Wee, the MD of Pony Canyon, the record label, Japanese record label that was set up here, and he owes me a favor. So if you want to ever present a demo, I can set that meeting up for you, right? So I was like, wow, that's fantastic. So I went back and told the guys about this. Hey, we got to do this demo, and because we have this meeting with Jimmy, right? And that's our chance. So we did, I think, a 6-song demo or 5-song demo of all our original songs, pull it together, and we had a studio where we kind of put all that together in, and we went and for that meeting, and that very afternoon we were signed to the label.
Crazy.
Yeah, which was a dream come true, man. I must say it was a dream come true.
You guys were the it band, you know, like all the kids were like, you know, finally something in local music that we could call our own and get behind and all that. And you guys played shows like nonstop. Every other day was a performance by Kick.
Yeah, well, that was one thing. And the thing that really amazed me was the kind of fans that we actually had. You know, we actually had people like, you know, jumping at us, girls jumping at us and chasing us and all that Woo-hoo! Stuff, which we used to see in those movies. Yeah, I never, you know, ever imagined that could even happen in Singapore, right? It happened. And so I said, well, you know, if this could happen, you know, you just have to put good content out and, you know, people will respond to it, right? So
we've never had that feeling before, by the way.
No, never.
Girls jumping on us and, you know.
Usually it's running the other way. Yeah.
So at least one of us has experienced that. So take us through how your music and radio career have intertwined over the years. Because after Rediffusion, you came to Mediacorp, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we recorded, the kid recorded our second album. We went to, because of the success of the first one, the record label sent us to England to record with an English producer because we wanted that international sound. So the thing about it was when we came back to Singapore, he said, okay, I need a few months to mix all this and, you know, then record label will have it and then we'll start with the release. What happened was the financial crisis, Asian financial crisis, I think in 96 it was.
Yeah,
and then the record label had to pull out because they were a Japanese label based in Singapore. So they pulled out their offices and all of a sudden we were labelless. No label. Wow. We could not release that second album.
Wow.
And yeah, so for me it was, okay, now what? Well, why not radio, right? So 987, Perfect 10 at that point. We're also looking and I knew, of course, you know, DJs and the director there. And I asked if there are opportunities and I got in and that's when I did my 2 year stint there. After 987, I did my own thing. So I had my own business, trying various things, but still working towards music all the time. And then I went away with the wife and the kid to England for 2 years. We stayed there in London for 2 years, developing music as well, learning the business, meeting people, you know, that stuff. We had a record label there as well, just to, you know, kind of get things going there. And then I had, you know, my wife was pregnant with the second child. So we decided to come back home to Singapore. And then one day I had a call from KISS and Jamie Meldrum, right? He called me up and said, hey, John, we'd like you to do a show. And I said, I've not been in radio for 15 years. I'm not even sure I'm going to be relevant. I'm going to be saying all these old, you know, kind of catchphrases that people might feel is, you know, I just want to be that person, right?
Stay cool and funky.
Why not you give it? Yes, cool and funky. That's it. And he said, "Well, give it a shot, right?" So I said, "Okay, I'll come and speak to you guys." And and then we spoke, and we decided maybe a one year deal. Just wanted a 1 year deal because if it didn't work out, I'm just gonna walk out and say thank you very much. You tried it out, right?
Yeah.
But it worked in reverse. It actually worked very well. Got great ratings on the show. So it just continued into, I think, 4.5 years before I got the call from, Class from MediaCorp and says, hey, you know, you're disrupting a lot of our what's happening here. Can you come over? And I said, well, yeah, I've always wanted to be in Class.
I mean, it was destiny, right?
It's because, almost kismet, right? Yeah, Class on Class.
You are John Class. Yeah. How can you be with any other station? You
know, that's what I always wanted to say. You know?
They didn't call
John Class at Class 35.
They didn't call you John Perfect or John Kiss. They called you John Class.
Class,
So you were always destined for Class 95, you know?
Yeah.
And we were so glad when you finally came on board and they were like, hey, it's John Class. He's finally here.
Yeah.
You know? Because since you talked about business, let's move back to that as well. Because you don't just do the music business. You do correct me if I'm wrong, you run a suits business as well.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, suits business as well.
Explain that. How did John Class get into doing suits?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, because, you know, it's for longest time. I don't know if you guys experience the same thing, right? For longest time, you go to the off-the-shelf sort of, places to buy your suits.
Yeah.
For me, it just doesn't fit. My shoulders are broader and, you know, I cannot button my suit or my jacket,
oh,
right?
Tell me about it.
I can button it.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, right? That's the thing.
I know how you
can button it. You have one or two sizes bigger than you actually should be wearing because you can button it, but everything looks baggy and stuff, right?
Yeah,
so for years and years and years, I've had that problem, right? So most of the time, I couldn't button because I liked it looking snug, but I just couldn't button it. And so one day, my wife said, hey, why don't you tailor make a suit, right?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, yeah. Where do I go? I don't know anything about these things. And so we went to Far East. So I was just browsing around. I walked into this shop. And behold, you know, this friend of mine from school, St. Patrick School, runs the shop. And it's like, hey, I didn't know you did this, right?
Wow.
And we started talking and I told him about my problem and said, hey, why don't we do something together? Because, you know, you can wear the suits and promote the suits and have this business around this, what we're doing as well. And I said, yeah, wow, that sounds great, right? And so we discussed that and that's how this suit business came about.
Wow.
It really suits you, man.
So a lot of things seem to fall into place. I'll tell you the funny story because I think this was 2015 or 2016.
Okay.
We were doing a TV show.
Yeah.
And then they said, oh, you know, you're so fat. None of the suits in the wardrobe fit you. You need to go and tailor make something. So I'm like, okay, where do I go? So they say, okay, you go to this shop in Faiz Plaza. We gave them your name ready. You go there, do the measurement. They'll make a suit for you. So I'm like, okay. And this was, of course, you know, sponsored by Mediacorp. So I didn't have to pay a cent, right? So I'm like, right, you know, free suit. So I went down there and then they measured me and blah, blah, blah. A few weeks later, I came back for the fitting. And when I wore the suit, I saw this label inside. John Class Suits. I'm like,
Oh really? So you wore one of my suits.
how many people are named John Class? Could this, at this point, you weren't working with us yet, right? So I'm like, could this be the John Class? Like, but since when he do suits? You know,
like, so he's a man of many talents.
I know. So I was like, oh, John Class has a. So only when you came on board, and I think I had a chat with you, but he said, oh, so it really was your company that did the suits. Wow.
That's right.
Awesome.
So those suits were, you know, like designed to kind of have a slick look and all that stuff. That's the thing that I wanted to have.
Oh, I love the suit. And then once the TV show ended, I went to wardrobe, say, hey, so the suit is mine, right? They're like, no, you have to pay for it.
Oh, really?
So
who else can wear your clothes? Exactly. You know, why would they want it?
No one else would ever wear this suit in Mediacorp. So, no, you have to pay for it. That's the policy. So I had to pay wardrobe.
Oh, really?
A fraction of what they paid to make the suit. So I can take it home as mine, you see. So I'm like,
oh, so you have one now, right?
So it's with me. Yes. Yeah. So I'm like, wow, I got no employee benefit.
And John, just for full disclosure, he can't wear it anymore because he's gotten fatter. So
oh man, really?
So yeah. So you can have it
taken off if you wanted to.
He's got to go and pay you a visit or your shop a visit or something.
Yeah. No, please do. You just come back. We'll get it sorted out for you without having to pay for it.
Oh, okay, you're the man. So just a quick plug. It's at Faiz Plaza. It's on the first floor, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you come up, you can see it's Piccadilly. It's the name, and you've actually the brand in there is John Class Suits. That's one of the brands that we
very cool. As well. Awesome. Yeah. This is a man of many talents. Yeah. He's a singer.
Yeah,
he's a radio producer presenter. He's a tailor.
Yeah, he's a tailor.
I can think of a couple of other businesses you can go in. Teaching aids.
Teaching aids.
John Class's aids. Classroom. Teaching aids, you know? Like, you can make OHP or whiteboard.
or even toilets. I can sell toilets. John, right? Yeah. So,
there you go. You see?
I can teach you how to use the toilet John Class, right?
Right.
There are many things still to come in your career, John Class.
And you know, we had an ulterior motive to hire you, right, John?
And what was that?
But if any of our systems break down and we can't play music, you can sing all the songs. Because none of us here are actually very good singers, so like, wow. Yeah, at least you got a professional singer now. And,
yes.
Anything happen, no problem. John sings.
So, yeah, sorry, the system is broken up for about 4 hours now. John, are you okay? Like, I'm good. Let's talk about the song that just came out.
Yeah, new music from our friend John Classmate.
Yeah,
awesome stuff. I Just Fall in Love Again. Tell us how the song came about. What was the process of it and all that?
Okay, so what I'm really amazed about, right, is the fact that it's actually out. Okay, out meaning because it's been in something I wanted to do for literally, you could say a decade or so.
Wow, right? Really?
Yeah, it's been a long time. And because, okay, you know, what I did after Kick, right, it was, I was writing for a lot of projects. So what right after Kick, it was a teenage textbook movie, right? So I was asked to do the soundtrack, so write for the film, actually. And it was great but I was writing for something specific. So, you know, I was writing towards that project, right? Yeah. The songs that came out was to describing the characters, the whatever, you know, the movie was about. And then it went from those kind of projects. I did a song for Manchester United, it was called Believing Fergie's Fighters. It was supported by the local fan club here, which was, I think, FJ Benjamin owned it at that point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we went to London to record that song. When I recorded it, Ferguson sent me a letter personally because I sent him one and he actually thanked me, you know, for because I told him how inspired I was, right? Because that was the season where they won the treble.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was a season where, you know, every game, right, when you thought it was just they're going to lose it, they came back and won it, right?
So 1999.
That was what it was all. Woo! Yeah. Believing in Fergie's Fighters. So that whole song was Never Give Up On Your Dreams, you know, until the end, right? Because that's what the team did, inspire me that way. And so he wrote a letter back to me and thanked me and said that he was, you know, so happy that, you know, his team inspired me to do this and to achieve other things in life and all that stuff, which was great. I still have that letter till today. And And so that was what I was doing throughout that time. I was just working on singles and on concept albums. I was writing a lot for children's songs on Octo and all those things, mm-hmm. and Disney commissioned to do all that stuff. And it was great, great experience. But I always wanted to find the John Class sound, which I never had a chance to because I was just working on, other people's projects, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so always the question was, so what is my sound? What do I sound like, right? What as an artist, what do I want to say? And for years, because there's so many things happening, I couldn't really really think about it until I came here and started doing love songs. All right. So when I started doing the show Love Songs, I think my wife's the happiest because I become more sensitive.
That's nice. You're taking your own advice, which is good.
Yeah. Because I'm inundated with 4 hours of love songs throughout the evening. That's one. And I'm not a love songs kind of guy because if you know Kick and all this stuff I used to write, it's really, upbeat. It's pop rock and
pop
all
songs,
those
yeah,
things
yeah,
I used
yeah.
to yeah, used to like. And so 4 hours of love songs, that's one. I'm speaking to all these love experts. I'm talking about every night these love predicaments that people send me and we discuss those things. And so, of course, you can't help but then, have your whole, sort of paradigm based around that. The sensitive being, understanding to your partner and all those things, right?
Yeah.
So I started saying, love songs, it's the thing that's perennial, right? Everybody loves love songs. All these big artists or big bands, right? Eventually, people only remember them for the love songs.
Journey had
a lot of
great,
love songs. I'm playing that every night, like you said. So I said, I think I'm ready to do, because my wife has always been telling me that the best things that I've seen you sing throughout the years are love songs. When you sing these songs, people actually pay attention, right? But I said, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be cool, right? I don't want to be singing love songs. And then finally, after doing, 1 year plus and almost 2 years of love songs, I think that's like kind of brainwashed me into thinking, let's do this.
Yeah.
And so I finally decided on this one song, which is I Fall in Love Again. It's an old song. It's a classic from Anne-Marie. I think the Carpenters did it as well. And it's not a song that I, kind of truly liked when I was growing up. But, when I started playing the piano again, right, maybe about four years ago, we had a piano. We got the piano back in the house, and the first thing that my hands played, and I said, I'm not really, I'd never considered myself great at playing the piano. It just started playing this tune, right?
Oh.
Out of nowhere, I just started playing this tune. And I was like, how do I even know this song? And then when I started playing it, all these feelings of, growing up started to come, pour out of me. And I started to feel really sentimental about it. And I started singing the song. And I was like, wow, it's actually a beautiful song. I never realized how beautiful this song was, right? Because the words now meant something to me, right?
Mm.
When I had my concert 3 years ago at the Esplanade, I had a love song segment.
Mm-hmm.
And I started the segment with this song, and that was the song that people responded to most. A lot of them came out after the show and said, we really love the way you did that song and blah, blah, blah. And even my friends from school who were there said, we love the love song segment. And so I convinced, right, my friends are saying that, who've seen me do all sorts of songs before. And they said, that was a segment that really, really was you and touched us and everything. I said, okay, I got to do love songs. Something's telling me to just do this, right?
Yeah.
Do love songs, right? And so when I was thinking, okay, I'm finally ready to settle and move in this direction of my music, and I'm going to do this song and I'm going to find a way to make it relevant and current. So this is basically, when it came out, I said, wow, it's finally out.
What a story.
Fantastic.
What a story.
After a decade.
So long in the making. Wow. Okay. So John Class, we need your permission right now because you are the owner of the song, so you can sue us. Can we play the song for everybody to hear it now on the Mutton Sandwich podcast?
Absolutely,
man.
Oh,
yeah.
Go for it, man.
Okay, we got the permission.
Nice.
He can't sue us.
Yeah.
After this. So here we go. Let's let you hear the song right now. It's called I Just Fall in Love Again. It's
Mutton.
John Class.
This song is by my friend, John Class. I know a singer.
Street cred. Woo, cred.
Dreaming. I must be dreaming. Or am I really lying here with you? Take me in your arms. Though I'm wide awake, I know my dream is coming true. And oh, I just fall in love again. Just one touch and then it happens every time. And then I go, why
just fall in love again. And when I do, I can't help myself, I fall in love with you. Must be magic. The way I hold you in the night just seems to fly. Oh, easy for you to take me to the star. Heaven's in that moment when I look into your eyes. And oh, why just fall in love again? Just one touch and then it happens every time. And then I go, why just fall in love again? And when I do, I can't help myself, I fall in love with you. And oh, why just fall in love again? Just one touch and then it happens every time. And then I go, why just fall in love again? And when I do, can't help myself, I fall in love with you. I can't help myself. Oh, oh, I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I fall in love with you.
John Klass.
Oh, fantastic stuff.
Fantastic. Congratulations, man, on a beautiful song.
Thanks. Appreciate it, man, for playing that as well. Yes.
Beautiful song.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to play a lot more on Klass 95 for
sure. That's right, yeah.
You're going to hear it nonstop. So, wow, what a journey. And the journey's only just begun. Are you thinking of an album coming
on the horizon? Yeah,
so on the heels of this?
I've got an EP. I mean, so I'm already working on three songs. So this song is the first one. I've got two other songs already. Yeah, you know, been working on.
Okay.
The other one is Jane. Actually, the next song is going to be Jane. Jane was the song that
the big hit.
You know, was it was a big hit for Kick.
Yeah.
And over the years, you know, people have always been asking me, right? Until today. In fact, if I do my Facebook Live, as you know, if people come, hey, John, can you sing Jane? Right.
Mm.
And I always oblige with a chorus or something.
Yeah.
And over the years, you know, that's always been the thing. So I thought, let's kind of update the song.
Nice.
And make it like I did for the first one, for I Just Fall in Love. I updated it and make it relevant for today's audience as well. And those who remember the song, you know, when they were growing up, because that's one of the you know, things I've always treasured a lot, was the fact that people have come up to me over the years and said, you know, I grew up with this song.
Yeah.
I was dating when this song was, you know, played on the radio. And radio had a big part to play with. It's because of Perfect Ten playing it all so often.
Yeah.
That people, you know, lives are intertwined with the song, right? And that's, I think, the wonderful thing about it. And the song also talks about, you know, going into the army, getting conscripted, and then losing his girlfriend. That's what the song's all about.
That's right.
And a lot of people, recently, even on my YouTube, because I did a song, a scaled down version of it for YouTube, and people are saying, you know, that's exactly what happened to me at that point.
Oh, so relatable.
I was in the army.
Yeah.
Yeah, when that song, and then my girlfriend left me because I was bald and no money and all that stuff.
No money.
Yeah, no money and bald, you know, so that's like a double whammy.
Two of the worst things that happen to any man. Eh?
Wow, I can't wait to hear the modern version of Jane. That should be quite something.
Yeah, man, so, I'm excited about it.
Make sure you let us hear.
I'm excited about how it's turning out to be. So
yeah,
you know, hopefully, you know, it all works out. Yeah,
yeah. Please let us hear it when it's ready to go.
Yeah, our next family meeting, please play the song.
Yeah. We can't wait to hear it. Awesome. So it looks like you have a lot of stuff going on. One more thing to do before we go, because we know you're busy. We actually ask all our guests to do this on the Mutton Sandwich podcast, and that is to ask us a question, because, you know, we've been asking you questions for half an hour. It's your turn now, John Klass. Has there ever been something you wanted to ask us? It can be one of us, both of us, doesn't matter. Any question on the record, shoot, anytime.
Okay, so have you guys, you know, seen each other naked?
No! Oh, boy.
You know what? You know what? This question has been asked before. And by, of right. all people, it was Yasmin who asked that question.
I don't know why you guys want us to see each other naked. It's so weird.
Because, no, you know, okay, the interesting thing is, right, because you guys have such a close bond. I think that's what a lot of people, you know, kind of recognize, that you guys are actually you have a close bond. You do a lot of things together. Obviously, you have a business together and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't mean we want to see time. Something naked.
No. So the question basically is, how close, really?
Even the McDonald's delivery guy, you know, looks for either one of us when they deliver food to either of our houses.
I would think so.
It's so funny.
It's become that. So the only thing on my mind is like, you know, if you've seen each other, okay, not maybe totally naked, but you know, with almost no clothes on, I think then we kind of know how close the relationship is.
We shared this when Yasmin asked us the same question. You guys are all sick in the head. Yasmin asked this, we're like, okay, so obviously pre-COVID there were quite a number of work trips. We did overseas broadcasts and all that, and just for simplicity's sake, we always share a room, right?
Absolutely. I think that's where it stems from. You know, you share a room
separate beds. It's never a twin bed. It's always like, you know. Let me ask you.
If there was no twin bed, I mean, there was a twin bed only. Yeah, no problems, right? Sleeping with each other, right? I mean, sleeping in the same bed.
I will fly back to Singapore.
really?
No, so it happened once. We got into the room and like, oh God, there's only one bed. It's a big, like king size bed, but it's only one bed.
Yeah, okay.
So the compromise was I slept on the bed, he slept on the couch.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
It's not at all.
What are you going to share?
No.
No,
have you heard this guy snore?
No, John.
You wake up the dead.
The only reason why you would not trust each other to sleep on the same bed is because you might feel feelings that you never want to feel.
No, trust me. You can feel nothing from this man.
I used to be a horrendous snorer. So
he couldn't
take it. So yeah, the couch and all.
So that was okay. And nothing to do about feelings that you didn't want to kind of confront.
No.
Okay. But back to your question. Let's just say I'm blind in one eye. So you know.
Right.
No, he really is blind in one.
Yeah,
eye.
I really am.
What do you mean?
I've got a lazy eye. Really? So yeah, guess how that happened. Saw something right, I shouldn't have.
That's what I was going to say.
That was a very long answer to your question, John. The answer is no. We have not seen each other naked. We refuse to see each other naked.
We never
want to see each other naked.
Hey, you know what? I'm actually convinced with that answer. Okay. So thank you.
John, it's been so fun. We hope to see you again soon, obviously in person.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
We don't know that's going to be. It's a company policy, by the way. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But hopefully soon one day. And congrats on all your success again. We can't wait to hear the next song that comes out with your EP and all that. Good luck, man.
Yeah. Thanks. I just want to say one more thing before we leave, all right? It's a pleasure and honor to, you know, be doing a show with you guys in the same station. I think, you know, you guys, you know, are up there and,
the honor is ours.
The feeling is absolutely mutual.
Like
man.
We said, when we heard John Klass was coming over, it's like, whoa! You know, like, wow, that's cool. It. Class on class. You know, this station is complete once you came on board. So,
great.
Talk to you soon,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for that.
Take care, buddy.
All right. Cheers, man, guys. See you then.